Hey guys, before we get started on today's episode, I wanted to let you know that we officially have the doors open to a free workshop on consistent content, building consistent content. If you are a content creator or you want to be, then this workshop is for you. If you struggle with starting, finishing, staying consistent, being on a schedule, showing up, doing all the things you know you should do, but who has the time for it? Well, I put together a free workshop that shows you exactly how I'm able to produce so much content without freaking out every single day. That should have been the name of the workshop. But you can access that by going to heatherparody.com/workshop, or you can click the link in the show notes. Again, that is heatherparody.com/workshop.
And that's really one of the skills that meditation gives you and reinforces. It helps you move aside the thoughts. And when you move aside the thoughts, what's left is you. And actually, each of us are incredibly capable, competent, amazing individuals. But we have all sorts of crap in our head that holds us back.
I've always felt immense fear.
I was born with cerebral palsy.
I have always felt small.
Told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt.
We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up,
use their voice,
and make an impact in this world.
Hey guys, welcome to today's episode. If you are ready to take your meditation game to the next level, you are going to love what we have for you today. I had the honor of connecting with Ariel Garten, who is probably one of the most interesting people you will meet. Get this, she is a psychotherapist, neuroscientist, mom, former fashion designer, and a female founder and visionary of an amazing and highly successful tech startup, Muse. So Muse tracks your brain during meditation to give you real-time feedback on your meditation, guiding you into the zone and solving the problem that most of us have when starting a meditation practice, letting you know when you are doing it right. One of the things I talked to Ariel in this episode about is, hey, we know we should meditate. You guys who are listening, you are self-help gurus. Y'all love bettering yourself. You love personal development. But bridging the gap sometimes between knowledge and implementation is another thing. So Ariel talks to us about how we can create the habit of meditation, how exactly meditation works, what are the benefits, what's the neuroscience behind it, and we even talk about how it affects us as entrepreneurs and leaders. I learned so much in this interview, cannot wait to share it with you. Plus, she's just a really, really awesome human. But before we get started, if you have not subscribed to our podcast, please look down at your phone, hit that subscribe button. And if you are an iPhone user, if you have Apple Podcasts on your phone, if you would consider taking a moment and leaving us an honest review, I would greatly appreciate it. All right, my friends, let's learn together more about meditation, how we can take it to the next level with my friend Ariel Garten.
So I've always been fascinated by the world from so many different directions. As you can tell, I was never good at picking just one thing. And I was fascinated by art and how it creates an experience of the self. And I was fascinated by science and how it describes the world. And so even at a very young age, I was an entrepreneur. I loved to make things. I made clothing. And even at the age of 16, I started wandering through the stores in downtown Toronto, hawking my wares, selling my clothing. And a few stores took it on. And all of a sudden, I was a designer. I was going to go to school for fashion design, but I was also fascinated by science. At 17, I had a job in a research lab doing embryonic stem cell research with knockout mice. And, you know, realized that I needed to pursue science deeply if I was ever going to get somewhere in there. My fascination with how the world worked really honed into how the brain and the mind work. And I went to school for neuroscience. And as soon as I graduated, opened my clothing store in downtown Toronto and started to really sell widely across North America with clothing that spoke to the self and psychology and really told stories of what was going on in the mind. From there.
That's amazing.
Yes. And then from there, I really honed in on wanting to make change in the brain. I became trained as a psychotherapist as a way to help people understand what was going on in their own mind, and became really fascinated by brain waves as something that had both technical information about the brain and the sort of like artistic edge to it, sort of spiritual side. Mm. And I started working with Dr. Steve Mann. He was one of the inventors of the wearable computer. And we began working with an early brain-computer interface system in 2002, creating concerts where you could make music with your mind. So again, the collaboration of the art and science. You could literally put an EEG electrode on the back of your head, and by shifting your brain state, focusing or relaxing, actually change the sound that you heard in the room. I was not a programmer. This was programmed by my engineering buddies who were part of the group, one of which was Chris Amney, who then became my co-founder creating Muse. So I stood back and said, oh my God, we're like literally controlling the world with our minds. We're hearing what's going on in our own brain. We're able to have this window into the mind that we've never had before. And I think it's commercializable, and I think I can make a product out of it. So I got together with Chris and Trevor, who was my boyfriend at the time's best friend. He was into promotions and management, and we formed a startup. We would get together every week in Trevor's basement, creating business plans for a business that didn't yet exist, creating, you know, demos, experiences that showed what this technology could do. And the craziest thing we did was a project at the Vancouver 2010 Olympics, where people in Vancouver could control the lights on the CN Tower, the Canadian Parliament, and Niagara Falls with their brains from across the country.
Explain to me how they're able to do that. I know, like, on a very elementary level, like, what do you mean by that?
So we had a system with a, again, single electrode on it. And we could teach somebody to focus or relax to shift their alpha or beta brainwaves. And then we use that as a control signal to pipe into the lighting on the CN Tower, and designed a beautiful lighting design on there. And by shifting brain state, somebody could actually control the lights on a building on the other side of the country.
Wow. My mind is just blown. That's insane. Now you've leaned heavily into meditation specifically. Why that?
As cool as controlling the lights on big buildings are, it's not really meaningful. It's not something that's really going to move people's daily life forward. And we wanted to do something that was going to truly impact people's lives. And we recognized that, you know, we had a tool that could give you a window into your own mind. When we were teaching people to focus and relax, what we were really doing was teaching people to meditate. And we ultimately could create a tool that could make meditation better. We all know that meditation is phenomenal for you, but it's really hard to do. You don't know how to meditate. You sit there. You think your mind's supposed to go blank. It doesn't. Your brain's bouncing all over the place. You're like, what's supposed to be happening? What's going on in this black box of my brain? Like, there's nobody sitting in there telling you what you're supposed to do. And we recognized we actually had a technology that could do just that, that could show you what was going on in your brain and give you guidance as to what to do.
I want to dig all into that and hear about more about meditation. I know our audience is going to love it. But before we go there, I want to know, just as a visionary, as someone who, man, you're brilliant. You have all of this, these interests and these talents and these skill sets. And I know as a leader and a visionary, sometimes it's so hard figuring out which avenue do I pursue and how am I able to combine all this? And you talked about being a fashion designer and you were able to use psychology and all of this science and kind of even blend that together. Before we dig into meditation and this incredible company you've built, can you just speak to that a little bit about how you've been able to navigate so many passions and make everything make sense?
I've always been fascinated by the world and creating experiences that help people see in a new way and transform. And I think that was the driver behind everything that I was doing. And so in fashion, you know, I love to make things. And so it was very easy to make clothing and make clothing that looked cool and beautiful. That excited me. Yeah. But I also wanted to create fashion that was going to have purpose and meaning and give people new insights and new information. Mm-hmm. So I was combining the things that I was thinking about in science and we're bringing those ideas into my garments. So I made like a skirt that had the phrenology skirt. It had 37 pockets to talk about the 37 parts of the subconscious. And I filled it with like each pocket with a little bit of bits of doll hair, umbrellas, little things that I would find around the house. And people would start to create stories. Be like, oh, I had that when I was a child and it reminded me of this thing. And all of a sudden they were kind of digging through the parts of their subconscious and creating stories and narratives based on the garment. And everybody would have their own narratives and stories around it. So I love to weave in these principles in ways that would give people experiences for insight and transformation.
So cool. I think you're an awesome example of what's possible if you're just really creative and lean in to the things that you're gifted in and interested in. And then finding that purpose behind your work, which I really love. And really it's the foundation of what you said Muse is about, is you believe that meditation is so important and it's something that we should implement. Why is that?
So when we started at making Muse as a meditation tool, we said, you know, even if the technology doesn't work, which thankfully it really did, just getting more people meditating, we know we'd have done something good for the world. So meditation really is phenomenal for you. There's over 1,000 published studies now demonstrating meditation's abilities to make transformation in your mind and your body if you actually stick to your practice and do it. And so there's, you know, studies demonstrating meditation's ability to decrease your stress, to be able to shift your negative ruminating thoughts, to be able to help your GRE scores, to be able to learn to respond rather than react so that you can more effectively manage your internal state and have better relationships. Meditation is not like a cure-all that will magically make everything better instantly in your life. But as you do this practice, it develops a way of thinking and a way of being in the world that helps to subtly shift all of these areas in some really beautiful and powerful ways.
I'm so excited I get to ask you this question, because I was actually thinking this morning when I was out on my run about this. I don't know the answer. Most of the listeners practice meditation. I do as well. And I guess where that we know we should be meditating. We understand the benefits of it, but really understanding what's happening in our minds, I think there's a gap there, which we get caught a lot on the logistics of it. Like, should I be listening to a guided meditation, or should I be sitting in silence, or do I need to be thinking about what I'm grateful for? But without really understanding of the purpose and what's happening inside of our minds with meditation, I think we get caught up in some of the logistics of it. So can you explain to us what is happening in our minds when we meditate? What goal should we have in it? Does it matter if we sit in silence or if we do guided, like, or is it just an end, all have the same end goal? Like, kind of break that down for us.
So first of all, there's lots of different forms of meditation. The one that I'm most versed in and that Muse teaches you is a focused attention meditation. So in a focused attention meditation, the exercise is you focus your attention on your breath, your mind begins to wander. You then notice that it wanders, and then you bring yourself back to your breath. And that's called the attentional control loop. It's the attentional loop. And what you're doing there is putting your mind onto your thoughts, not inside your thoughts, but having metacognition rising up, noticing your thoughts, and then choosing to let go of a distracting thought and come back to the object of your attention, which can be any object, but typically we use the breath. And when you do that, some pretty magical things happen. It's not magic, it's just what happens, but it seems magical. So one of the first things that happens is you are able to not just be on autopilot. So most of us just go through the world with our mind thinking, and we assume that we're just supposed to be thinking all the thoughts that are in our head, and that's the way it is. As soon as you take your mind off of a thought and put it elsewhere, you shift the relationship to your thinking. You recognize that you don't have to be at the, you know, behest of your brain and what it wants to give you. You can actually have choice and control over the contents of your own mind, which is tremendous. So you can take your mind off of wandering, often negative, repetitive, and not very helpful thoughts, and choose what to put it on and where to focus yourself in your day.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's huge. That's a massive shift for most people when that happens. Once that happens, you can then recognize that you are not your thoughts. You are a separate end, you know, or you are separate from your thoughts. You have choice about them. And when you recognize that, you probably also come to the realization eventually that all of the things that those thoughts are thinking you about you may or may not be true. So all of the things like, I'm not good enough, the narratives you've told yourself over your whole life, you're like, oh, those are just thoughts too. I'm not my thoughts. My thoughts aren't always right. I don't need to buy into them. I can have a choice over the narratives that they've been telling me about me. And that is extraordinarily powerful.
That could change the world if people grasped onto that. It literally could. But I think you hit it on the head earlier, actually bridging the gap between we know we should be doing this and practicing and getting it better and actually doing it, because it is a discipline. And a lot of people struggle with sitting down and being quiet and practicing this when we have so much to do and our brains aren't trained, where we have a million thoughts going on at a time. And sometimes it's a struggle sitting for 2 minutes in silence. How do we bridge that gap between knowing what we should do and actually practicing what you're talking about and getting better at it?
So it was actually Muse that taught me to meditate. So as a psychotherapist, I was constantly telling my patients they should meditate and teaching them to meditate. As a neuroscientist, I knew all the studies behind it. But I myself was a terrible meditator because I was that person who clearly has a million thoughts, a million things I want to be doing, and the sense of doing was so strong. And it was only until we started building Muse and I started using it every day that I was like, oh, this is what I was supposed to be doing. It was like listening to a love song for the first time after I was in love. And I was like, oh, now I get it. And Muse really gave me the discipline because I was doing this activity to focus on my thought, focus on my breath, notice when I was wandering and return. And one of the first things that happened just a couple weeks in was I was doing a long form document, which used to take me a ton of time because my brain bounced all over the place. And I did it in like 45 minutes that day. And I was completely shocked, but it's because I had learned how to change that relationship between my wandering mind and what I wanted to be doing. So my mind would wander rather than following it to the coffee machine or the next idea or this other thing I wanted to do. I'd be like, nope, back to the task at hand. Let's finish the document. And I was able to just hone in and do it. And it was like a game changer to be able to shift my relationship with myself in that way and have a greater sense of like control and agency over my mind and my time.
What have you discovered about just yourself personally and your own potential through meditation and through taking control of those thoughts and separating yourself from them? What have you learned about yourself through that?
So first of all, just how limitless possibility is. I think I was pretty lucky at a young age. I had a very quiet inner critic. And I always so deeply believed in my own ability to do whatever I wanted. It was like, make a crazy brain control technology company, even though I have no real background in business, I'm not an engineer, have never raised money. None of it mattered. It's just like, I can do that. I can see it so clearly that I can do it. And that's really one of the skills that meditation gives you and reinforces. It helps you move aside the thoughts. And when you move aside the thoughts, what's left is you. And actually, each of us are incredibly capable, competent, amazing individuals. But we have all sorts of crap in our head that holds us back. And through a meditation practice, I've really been able to take those last bits of crap, the uncertainty, the doubt, the, ugh, does my hair look good, and move those aside. So it's helpful both on the thinking end and on the feeling end. A lot of what, you know, entrepreneurship is this crazy, crazy roller coaster. You know, you're like one day you're high as a kite because everything's working. The next day you're like, oh, I'm about to run out of money. And I have 45 mouths to feed. How am I going to solve that? And the emotions that ride up and down through it are wild. Meditation has really given me this sense of perspective and wisdom that I didn't have when I was younger doing this. I now recognize, like, they call it a wisdom practice for a reason. And whenever I'm in one of those scenarios now where it's like, wow, this like feels like everything's crashing, like this is crazy. It no longer feels hard or difficult or challenging because I can just rise above it and have that perspective. I can feel the emotion that I'm having around it, observe the emotion, and just experience the emotion without it creating drama.
Do you think most high achievers have that skill set? Is that how they become high achievers?
Probably. I mean, there's a set of skill sets that high achievers have. And, you know, I was very strong on the, you know, vision, I can do it, execution, and determination characteristics. High achievers, you have to have an insane amount of determination. But I wasn't as versed in the, you know, emotional understanding and self-regulation. And that's definitely a skill that I have built over time through the meditation practice. There are probably other people that have had a much more sort of nuanced emotional understanding at the beginning of their process. And that's also had contributed to their high achievement, maybe less drive or less self-belief. I was really high in those first two categories.
Yeah. Tell me about your technology. I want to hear about what Muse does. How does it help us meditate better?
Sure. So Muse is a slim little brain sensing headband. Anyone on the video, you can see it here. So Muse has sensors on the forehead and behind the ears. It slips on just like a pair of glasses and it tracks your brain while you meditate. It gives you real-time feedback to know when you're in focused attention and when your mind is wandering. And the metaphor we use is your mind is like the wind. So when you're thinking or distracted, you actually hear it as stormy. And as you come to quiet focused attention, it quiets the storm. So you're literally hearing what your brain is doing, and these guiding sounds are guiding you back into that state of focused attention. So during your meditation, you get real-time feedback, so you know what's going on and what you're supposed to do. And then after the fact, you get charts, graphs, scores, things that actually let you see what your brain was doing, give you opportunities for reflection, and then let you track your progress session after session.
That is so cool. Where did that idea come from?
So it really was an evolution. I mean, the creation of this was such we had this technology that was in search of a solution, a technology that was in search of like what its real calling was going to be. And, you know, the technology could have been used for driver distraction or education or gaming. And eventually we recognized that the best use was in meditation, and we would go into VC's offices and they'd be like, so what's the killer app? We're like, meditation. They're like, yeah, right. Really? And it turns out 7 years later, meditation truly was the killer app for this. And we had it confirmed when we were at Wisdom 2.0, which is a tech and meditation conference in San Francisco. And that's actually where we got our first funding from Chad Mantang, who was one of the early employees of Google, and he created their meditation program, Search Inside Yourself. And he sat down with myself, Chris, and Trevor, like pretty early on in our journey, as we were like, we're creating this product. We think meditation is going to help the world. And he gave us our first check of $100,000 to help fulfill his mission of creating world peace in his lifetime. And so that was the moment that sort of solidified what we were going to become.
Amazing. Congratulations to you. That's incredible. What do you see as the future of meditation? Where are we heading?
So for us, we have been spending Muse launched in 2014 as a device that gives you real-time feedback on your brain. We launched last year a new device, Muse 2, that gives you real-time feedback on your heart, your breath, and your body. So you can hear what goes on in your mind. You can hear the sound of your heart like the beating of a drum. So you can tune your interoception, your ability to understand your own internal state. It gives you breathing exercises so you can learn to calm your body along with your mind. And so for us, and for so many, you know, meditation has so many different dimensions. There's what goes on in your mind. There's what goes on in your body. There's tuning the harmonies between all of them. There's 1,000 apps out there for guided meditation. So, you know, we've now pulled in, we have hundreds of guided meditations that you can use alongside your Muse. And for us, the next journey is understanding how we really give guidance and coaching and create complex journeys that allow somebody to get deeper and deeper into the sense of self-discovery. Because as a meditator, you know, we're consciousness explorers. And I don't think anybody knows what the future frontier of meditation looks like. There's so many opportunities in the ways that we can go deeper inside of ourselves. There's so many opportunities to create good in the world as a result of it. So, you know, when you ask me about the future of meditation, it's both, you know, what is the evolution of, you know, how we discover ourselves through technologies and these practice. And it's also, what is the evolution of the world around us as meditation becomes more widely adopted and utilized, as people are able to self-regulate more effectively and therefore interrelate more effectively, and therefore create more kindness and goodness in the world around us.
I love that. Where can people grab one of these devices? Where can we find you? And then you have a podcast too.
Sure. So you can find Muse at choosemuse.com. Muse 1 and Muse 2. And you can find me at Ariel's Musings on Instagram and Ariel.Garten at Twitter. And then I have a podcast, Untangle, where I talk all about the brain and meditation and tools and techniques. And that's at iTunes, any of your favorite podcasts under Untangle.
All of that will be linked in the show notes. Definitely check that out. Last question. Let's say you were to go back in time to Ariel when she was just discovering this fascination for science and the potential that she had to use her gifts and her talents to make an impact in this world. And you were to go and sit with her for a moment right before she embarked on this journey that you're on right now. What would you tell her then if you just had one moment with her?
I would tell her how much I loved her, how much she was allowed to flourish, and how extraordinary this journey would be. And to never forget everybody along the journey with her.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have not subscribed yet, please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and hit that subscribe button. And also, if you have a second, leave us a review. Lastly, we have a private Facebook group. If you are looking for a tribe of like-minded leaders who are unconventional in their approach, but dedicated to making an impact, head over to Facebook and type in unconventional leaders, and we will be sure to add you. You guys have a great week.